because we're coming into Christmas, we're going to have three different messages coming in to look at Jesus and some of the attributes or some of the things that's happening. So this week I want to talk about Jesus' royal lineage, so in his royalty. And I think the following week we'll be looking at his prophecies, or the prophecies about Jesus coming. And the week after that, it will be the star, following the star. So we've got three separate messages leading into Christmas time. Today I want to talk about Jesus' royal lineage and that understanding. So when we see a place of kingdom or a king, Jesus as king, how do we process that? How do we think that? How does it come about? What's taking place? Let me lead in a scripture to get your minds starting to think and process this way. So we have Matthew chapter 2, and it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or what they would call wise men, they came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." I'm just going to stop there just for one moment. Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? Why doesn't it say, where is the prince that has been born? Why is it straight away, where is the king that has been born of the Jews? That's what I already want your brains to start rolling through this. Lord Jesus, as we look at today's message, your royal lineage, the royal line that you came from, through your family, but also the wonder and the beauty of who you are. Lord Jesus, today, this morning, help us to have a greater, richer understanding of who you are and what's taken place in the family and the journey. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me, and I pray, Lord, that our ears and hearts are ready to receive what you have for us today. Guide us and show us your truth through your word, and may we have a richer understanding coming into this Christmas time. Amen. Born King of the Jews, we saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. These are three wise men, or some would say kings or whichever, but these are very prominent men. We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. I think that's an understatement. Yeah. These wise men have come to tell King Herod there's a king born of the Jews. And who is Herod? Supposed to be the king of the Jews. Right now, he's supposed to be the king of the Jews, right? So he's disturbed, right? And then all of Jerusalem with him. In other words, hang on, what is going on here? When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, so he wanted to get all those with wisdom and understanding, bring them together, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, hang on. Wasn't there a comment, the king of the Jews? And now Herod is asking about a Messiah? Okay, I just want you to catch on to these words, what's written here. The king of the Jews, and now Herod's saying, well, where is the Messiah to be born? So it looks like Herod has put the two together, king of the Jews born, but Messiah, something, prophecy must be there. So he asks, so in verse 5, it says, well, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is written, this is what the prophet wrote about. So the prophecy is that he's going to be born, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So this is the verse that it comes from. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So then Herod calls the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. Why is he sending them to Bethlehem? Well, they asked where the king was going to be born, so he's sending them to Bethlehem. Remember, he did this secretly, so he has an agenda, correct? Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Do you think that is Herod's agenda? No, well, you know the story. Many of you do. Some of you don't. That's okay. We're going to look at that a little bit more. All right. So what's taking place? What's happening? We see these wise men coming from the east, coming to talk to Herod, saying, well, where's the king of the Jews? We've heard the king of Jews has been born. Herod, who's the king of the Jews, so hang on, what's taking place? Confusion, everything's upsetting. Oh, we got to find out, it must be the Messiah. If it's the Messiah, where is he going to be born? And I need to do something about it. Really? That's what's taking place. So, don't you think if you have a king to be born, or even a prince, aren't they normally born in something like this? That's our place at the bush, by the way. Helen's shaking her head. Okay, maybe not as nice as this, but anyhow, much nicer. Don't you think a prince is born in a palace, right? Mm. Every story we hear, princes are born in palace. Well, they're probably born in a hospital, but brought back. But, you know, but as part of a palace, a kingdom, a kingship. But we see, and we have an understanding that's very, very different. We see a place where this king is born to very, very humble parents in a stable or a place where the animals are very lowly, very quiet, very humble, very poor in many ways. And yet these three wise men are saying that this child is a king. Start to think, start to process. So what I want to do is look at this. I don't know if you look in your scriptures, you've ever looked at Matthew and Luke, you'll find that there's two genealogies. There's the lineage, the family lineage. There's two genealogies that you see. But have you ever noticed that they're actually quite different when you look at them? I know Peter and others would have studied these completely, and that's okay. But some of you might go, well, that's that one and that's that one. I want to bring a bit of light to it. There's a bit of controversy around it, but let's just go with what it looks like, what we have here. So from Matthew 1:1 to 16, we have the lineage of Abraham through to Mary. And in Luke, we have the lineage of Joseph to Adam. So you've got totally different directions. So in Matthew, you've got Abraham, patriarch, moving through to Mary, mother of Jesus. But then when you look at Luke, you go from Joseph going completely the other way, all the way down to Adam, as you look through it. So often what's looked upon is you have two lineages that come together to prove Jesus's family lineage and the blood coming through together. So to explain it in some way is if we put Luke on the left and Matthew on the right, so working through, even though Luke is now flipped the other way around because it's just easier for your heads, all right? And mine too, by the way. All right. So We have in Luke, we have then God going through Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan. There's a lot of big names here, by the way. Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem. And then we go to Arphaxad, Cana, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serub, Nahor, and Teran. And then we have them coming together. So I want you to keep seeing Luke on the left, Matthew on the right. Okay, and then all of a sudden they join up. So we have Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, Judah, Perez, and we've got them coming through in the line, Jesse, David. And then we have all of a sudden a shift on these two family lineages. We have this shift. So Nathan on this side coming through David, Nathan, but on the other side we have Solomon. Right. So what we have now is on the right side, just keep it in mind, Mary's side. And on the left side, we have Joseph's lineage. The reason I'm putting them there is because we're looking at the family lineage. So all of a sudden, we do have Nathan coming through David's family lineage, one of his sons. But now we have Solomon. King Solomon, now king of Judah, Rehoboam, king of Judah, Abijam, king of Judah, Asa, king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Joram. See, this is Jesus' family lineage. It comes through. Then we have those on the left. Then king of Judah, Jotham, king of Judah, Ammon, king of Judah, Josiah, king of Judah, Jeconiah. Remember, this is Mary's side, right? And then as it goes further, you have all these other names on the left and coming on to Eliud, Amos, Eliud, coming through. Down here we have Joseph, Jesus on the left, and on the right we have Joseph, Mary on the right. Now, in saying all that, what does that mean for Jesus' royal lineage and his place? Now, was Joseph Jesus' father? Was Joseph Jesus' father? No. Okay. So Joseph's side, even though the lineage is still from the royal lineage previous through David, we now see the lineage coming through Mary. Why is it so important that we see the royal lineage coming through Mary? Walk, you know this, all right? Don't you? Okay. If you want to prove that you have Jewish heritage, you have to prove that your mother was Jewish, because the father can be disproved. But you have to prove that your mother is Jewish. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay. So to prove that Jesus' lineage came through the mother, the royal lineage coming through. Today, if you go to Israel and you say, I'm a Jew, they're not going to ask whose your father was. They're going to want to know your mother and the bloodline through the mother's side of it. So I'm sure you knew that, Bok. Yeah, okay. You just didn't know what I was asking. That's all right. That's okay. So that's the lineage, royal lineage coming through. So we're going to talk a little bit more about it. So in Matthew 2, this is after this is the wise men. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. These wise men, these men of renown, come to this place, which is very lowly, very humble family, and comes and they come and worship Jesus, this child. What do you think's going through Mary and Joseph's mind when they're looking at this? What is taking place? And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. It's very, very specific, very special. I won't talk about the different ones, but some of you know about them. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So in a dream, this Herod's not good. We need to go another way. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now an angel steps in and says, get up. And the angel says, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. You've got to get away from here. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So the angel already knows what Herod has in mind. It's time to go. And so he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Now, what is Herod thinking? When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He was furious. And he gave orders. This Herod is a nasty piece of work here. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. See Herod's heart? Destroy anger. But how does it work with Herod? In Luke 19, the parable of the nobleman, if you know that parable, you can search that up, but you can look at it yourself. Jesus gives a parable, and he gives an analogy of a nobleman who goes to a far distant country and asks to be the king. And there's a whole delegation that goes behind and says, we don't want this king to be in there. The story is quite simply is what we believe is Jesus telling the story of Herod going to Rome to pay for his kingship, because Herod wasn't a full Jew. His mother was a Hasmonean, and so his father was Jewish, but he wasn't a full Jew. But he paid for his kingship, and a lot of people said, we don't want you to be king, but he paid for his kingship. And he had to pay for that to be king, but we find that the true king came through the royal lineage, through Jesus being the king, through Mary and Joseph. So what does all this mean for you and me? I've given you this whole story of Jesus' lineage and how that all works and Jesus being king, but what does that mean for you and for me? Let me read in Romans 8:14. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you're children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. We are adopted through the Holy Spirit to what? To sonship or daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. What does that mean? That means when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive adoption into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're adopted into this family, we have something amazing taking place. We can come to God the Father and call him Abba, Father. That's intimate. I don't think you really understand what that means. When Jesus, the disciples said to him, teach us how to pray, Jesus said, Abba, Father. Do you know that the disciples would have fallen over backwards, because they've grown up in a world where you couldn't even say God's name properly, Yahweh, or you couldn't even say the vowels in it, because you had to hold God in such a holy place that you, when Jesus says, Abba, Father, he made this relationship between him and God the Father intimate. This is now saying you and I have the ability to have an intimacy with God and call out that we, in our Holy Spirit in us, calls our Abba Father. We are allowed to have an intimacy with God the Father. Please don't lose his holiness, but we're allowed to have the intimacy. And it goes further, because the Spirit himself, Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Holy Spirit in us tells us that our spirit, that we are God's children. Now, it goes even further. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Not only heirs, but heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs with Jesus. That means we're family with Jesus, doesn't it? If we can call Abba God our Father, that means we are now co-heirs with Jesus. How does that compute in your mind? We are co-heirs. We're allowed to, with Jesus, say Abba Father. Only because Holy Spirit is in us. And indeed we share in, if indeed we share in his sufferings, who wants to share in his sufferings? In order that we may also share his glory. We are co-heirs. There's something powerful and amazing. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, Holy Spirit is a down payment for us for an eternal life, a sonship and a co-heir. When you're an heir, you mean you receive the inheritance. Is that right? You receive the inheritance. What's the inheritance? Eternal life with Jesus. That means we are co-heirs with Jesus to have that place of eternal life. So I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen? Our present sufferings, the things we're going through, the things that we're whinging about, the things that we're not happy about, our bodies falling apart or our struggles and issues that we have, our anxieties and our fears and our financial issues and the weight and the pressure that we have, well, it's not worth comparing to the glory that we have in us through Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm missing Andrew. Yeah. I know he's driving. I know he's not here. But normally I get an amen. We should be excited about this. You guys seem a bit flat this morning. I consider our present suffering not worth comparing. The glory revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation is waiting for us to be revealed. And the wonder and the beauty. When Jesus comes back, the creation of the world is going, yes, yes, finally, to get rid of all the pain and all the suffering and all the struggles. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We've got to say thank you, Jesus, for being the King, born the King, born a King that is the Saviour, born the Messiah. And because God is now reaching out for us to come and be in that place with him. You know, the irony of this whole passage and the story, the lineage of Jesus, the struggle that we see through Herod, Herod who wants to destroy the children, Herod who is doing everything he possibly could to destroy the prophecy, to destroy the place of Messiahhood, the corruption that he carried and everything that was in place. The irony of this whole story is that even the Pharisees and the teachers of the law still wanted to destroy Jesus and the Messiah. And the only leader that we can really see that actually understood who Jesus was a guy called Pilate. All right, there's a slur. Pontius Pilate, who actually got it, who said Jesus was innocent, but he's under so much political pressure that he actually put the sign on Jesus, this is the King of the Jews. They told him, the religious leaders said, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. No, Pilate said, no, he is the King of the Jews. The irony of it is the one who actually got it right was not one of the Jewish leaders. He was a Roman leader and he understood what he was putting up there on the sign. So for you and for me, we are able to come to Abba Father, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but because Jesus is king. And in his kingship, he allows you and I to be co-heirs with him to receive an eternal grace. And that's beautiful. And that's exciting. And him being born so simple, so lowly, so humbly to peasant families is a testimony to you and I that it's nothing to do with our family or our lineage or anything like that. It's got everything to do with Jesus being king, and his death on the cross allowed you and I to have this wonderful Holy Spirit as a down payment for eternal life. And that is an incredible and beautiful blessing. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the wonder and the beauty, for allowing us to be in such a place where you're asking us to be part of that royal lineage as well. And you're not asking us to pay money to race across and ask and demand permission, to demand authority. You're asking us to have simple faith, to believe that you are our Lord, that you are our Savior, that you bring good news, and your good news is great news for each one of us. So Lord, I pray for those who don't fully understand here this morning, this place where your Holy Spirit is a down payment, that those who are struggling and not able to know that you, Lord Jesus, through your Heavenly Father, want to have us in an intimate relationship with you. Not to lose your holiness, but to know that we can come to you at any moment of any time in any day and talk with you and share with you, and you accept us as we are, because through not only sufferings, not only good times, we keep our eyes firmly fixed on you, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.